Opinions and theories expressed here are exactly that, our personal opinions. We are sharing our thoughts in hopes of sparking conversations about how we interact with media, stories, and each other.
Nothing is wrong with a different perspective. We always keep it respectful, and thank you for doing so too. Welcome to Thank and Deadly, where spooky stoners discuss how terrifyingly good films and pop culture moments relate to horrifying aspects of real life. I'm Marie.
And I'm Ace.
And today we'll be talking about Stoker. This has nothing to do with Christmas, but it is my birthday. Well, not today, but tomorrow. So the day after this comes out, it will be my birthday. So I want to talk about what I wanted to talk about, and that's it. And this is also, like, kind of birthday-y, because it opens on a birthday. It's about birthdays, kind of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, family trauma, all that. That is my shit.
I was going to ask, like, why is this the movie that you picked? But it pretty much explained it.
Birthdays, family trauma, beautiful sprawling gothic estates.
Yeah.
You know, secrets. Yeah, I can't ever do anything happy, so that's why. we don't really have any rips today, because who cares? It's my birthday. I'm just kidding. There's lots of things happening.
That's the only news.
That's the only news. Tell me happy birthday. Don't ask me how old I am, because it'll send me into an existential crisis. It's all good. That's the news. Send me confetti, or I don't know, something.
The only rip I have, I know I've been like bringing it up, right? Welcome to Raccoon City is actually out right now. I watched the trailer and I should not have done that. Did not get me excited. And Rotten Tomatoes, I think the rating's like 26 right now. It's not looking that good, but you know, we don't look at that. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. If you're interested in it, it's out and you should go watch it. I think it's only in theaters right now, so be safe.
Definitely go see it. A new fucking Silent Hill installment. We love. Some spooky, fucking, weird government experiment cult shit.
Yeah, fuck yes.
Yeah, we love it.
I mean, zombies, you know, send that my way.
That too. Lots of weird, just monsters and whatnot. That's what we're here for. Murder and monsters and mayhem.
Bunch of chaos.
And what we're smoking today, of course, I was going to take a bong rip. I have a combination of gelato and lollipop OG, just because why not? Sounds like a delicious fucking dessert, I guess.
Well, exactly what I did, too.
Okay, well.
It sounded delicious.
That's the thing today. So go ahead and take your rips, light up your blunt joint, whatever you do. Just take it with us before we get into Stoker.
Lollipop got me like asleep like a motherfucker too.
Whenever that other one literally didn't function, so I just went to sleep. But So getting into Stoker, it is the 2013 film written by Wentworth Miller, who apparently also goes under the pen name of Ted Folk. It was directed by Park Chan-wook, who directed Sympathy for Lady and Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy. Then that whole trilogy is called the Vengeance Trilogy. The Handmaiden, Thirst. I still need to watch The Handmaiden. That's been on my list forever. Very great director, amazing, always has some fucking ridiculous shit go on in his movies, which is again what we're here for. It was produced by Ridley Scott, who we know from Alien and Blade Runner and Thelma and Louise. I did not actually know that he like produced Thelma and Louise, but and Tony Scott, who actually is his younger brother and died shortly after the production of this movie. So it is dedicated to him, which is so lovely of them. Chung Hoon Chung is the cinematographer, and a great fucking one he is. He has collaborated with Park Chan-wook many times. Like, he's listed on almost every movie that Chan-wook has done, and he actually worked on It 2017, which is probably why that is so fucking good to me. It's the pretty beach, sorry. Chapter 2 is fun too, just like weird and ridiculous, and like I feel like, I don't know why I feel like nothing happened in Chapter 2, but like a bunch of shit happened. I don't know.
I feel like the first one, like a few scenes at least get me or whatever, like the second one was nothing got me at all.
Yeah. But it was just weird campy fun, which is also cool. Yeah. The film Stoker follows the family, Stoker family, after their father Richard is killed in a car accident on the daughter India's 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. Things become harder and weirder in the house after Richard's long-lost brother Charles, who India has never heard of, comes back into town and moves in with them. So, yeah, that sounds like, it doesn't sound like something ridiculous, right. But like,
it really doesn't.
It definitely gives me the same similar vibes as if you've read or watched We Have Always Lived in the Castle, by Shirley Jackson. That's also really good, and it's this similar kind of old, rich, white people living in their home and stuck in there for whatever agoraphobic reason, and then somebody comes in the house and fucks shit up. So, yeah. But, yeah. It's so much. Like, I get why India doesn't want people in her house. Like,
I thought, yeah, well, when it was just her, just a pale white girl playing a piano, and like a spider like crawling up, I'm like, okay, well, she's like, she's a bad one, right? And I was like, no, she's not.
I mean, nobody's innocent, and I guess that's also the theme through here, that everybody's got their skeletons, and that's also like a theme through all the gothic things, is that there's really no, like, in my opinion, there's never a person that you always root for 100%, because somebody's always falling into, and even Stoker, like Dracula, like when you look at the story of Dracula, all of those people are tempted by something, and none of them are technically redeemable because they fall into whatever it was that was tempting them, and then they try to like cover it up so that they can save face, blah blah blah. So it all like that's why I really like the name and like the execution, and even like Dracula blood, but used in the way of like, we're family, so we have to hold on to each other, even if we're terrible to each other. So, like, how blood is, like, sometimes the issue. But the cast of Stoker, we have Mia Wasikowska as India, Nicole Kidman, the iconic Nicole Kidman, as Evelyn, Matthew Good as Charles, Phyllis Somerville as Mrs. Garrick, Dermot Mulroney as Richard, Jackie Weaver as Aunt Gwendolyn / Auntie Jen. I love that nickname. Call me Auntie Jen when I'm an auntie. That's what I'll be sipping on. Not because it has shit to do with my name. Anyway. Lucas Till as Chris, who is the bully in this school. Aldrin Ehrenreich as Whip. Whip. Cool Whip. Anyway. Ralph Brown as Sheriff Howard. Stoker is available to stream on HBO Max, Hulu Premium, and available for rent on Vudu, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Google, and Apple TV for $3.99. I swear to gosh that this was on Disney Plus. Maybe they took it off because, yeah, that was weird as hell. But, you know, it's not there. I did check again. But it's not there anymore.
No, I vaguely remember that.
No, like, I definitely saw it and was like, why is this on Disney Plus? But
aren't they, like, both kind of, like, purple and, like, black?
What?
Like, the apps? Or is Disney blue?
Disney's blue.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Yeah, no, HBO is purple, yeah. We'll go ahead and throw, if you're gonna watch it, trigger warning for grooming and incest. Implied incest. Yeah. Not visible. But still there. And since we told you where to get it, once again, if you're gonna go watch it, spoiler alert.
So go ahead and watch it and then come back. Go ahead and watch it.
If you have not, and if you have, Stoker.
You know how we do with y'all the spoiler shit, you know?
We're getting into. So, right off the bat, since this is your first time watching, what did you think of, like, you know, initial thoughts coming out?
Okay, well, coming in pretty blind. I didn't know what I was getting into. I knew it had to be fucked up because you were excited. So I was like, okay, I'm waiting on it. Then fucking Charlie came in the picture. Okay. And then I was like, is this just a story on like a weird creepy uncle taking like the daughters or some shit? Like, that's what my initial thought was. Totally changed, and I liked the outcome. I like this movie, actually. It was really fucked up, and I like it.
Weirdly, this is on some list on Twitter. I forgot what it was called. It was like, if you like fucked up, vaguely fucked up movies, or like vaguely disturbing movies, and it was like the first one.
It was a very it's not here, really. To me, it's like the Lord recognizing steady pace, or you know, like somebody dies, but it's not like an exciting kill in a sense or something like that. It's like a really steady,
eerie, yeah, atmospheric, then like a normal
I knew that son of a bitch. Like, you was in fucking Watchmen. I know that photogenic.
And that's what he did there. He just like played on his looks and was literally the fucking villain. Spoiler if you haven't read or watched fucking Watchmen. Like, anyway. If you haven't, you should totally fucking watch it, because it's like, in my opinion, I think they're tied. I would say The Dark Knight and Watchmen are the best comic book adaptations, in my humble opinion. But, he was suspicious. Charlie was fucking suspicious. The fact that he was just standing away from the crowd at his own brother's funeral. Yeah. Like, you didn't even come say hi. Wasn't even like, I'm gonna sneak in the back. I'm gonna sit down. Like, you just stood there like a fucking dick on somebody's tomb. Like, deadass, this man was standing on a fucking, you know, whatever it is, so he could get attention.
Do you know, thinking back, what the most fucked up part about that is? He was wearing his son's glasses.
Yeah, that's what I was like. She knew that. Like, this, they all were straight up ignoring every red flag just for what? He had no like purpose to be there.
No, I literally sat there. I'm like, why is he there? Is he there still?
Just because he's the brother? Just like, y'all just, it, Need and help? This, once again, maybe I'm like traumatized by like Titane and Orphan, and I'm just like, what if this man was like faking? What if this wasn't even him?
Right.
What if this was some random dude who knew this guy had a brother sometime and was like, I'm gonna just pull up and take advantage of this rich ass family?
Sure, it happens all
the time. They were so trusting, just fucking. Yeah, yeah, come on in my house. We have vaguely heard about you. I didn't know you were, you know, you've been traveling since what? I met your brother. We don't even know if you're a real person, but come on.
Come in. Yeah, no.
And we're gonna, I'm just gonna live here. Like, okay.
Got comfortable as hell. So I don't understand that at all.
But whatever, I guess she wanted a man and India wanted a father, and then it just went weird, and they were, everybody was looking for something, and everyone who knew him was like, nah. This is like, what did Mrs. Garrett say? She was like, you've been like this since you were a child. I am tired. I am tired of it.
No, you can hear it. We can tell you are tired of that shit.
No. I was that trigger warning for grooming and incest, because this shit is ridiculous. Like, but it really does. Like, people do that all the time. They sweep the family predator. They literally ignore the creepy uncle.
Of course.
Just to be able to say that they have everyone together at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Of course.
Like, everyone got together.
And the uncle's like, sitting at the kids' table. She gave him a chance.
Anyway, back to the beginning. Which, like I said, it begins with the funeral. It's on her birth. Well, not the funeral. It opens with, like, you know, everybody doing what they do, getting ready for India's birthday, you know, and then they hear, like, the car crash. Like, it's like the opening of, what is it, 13 Ghosts, if you've seen that. It's kind of similar to that, where they, like, are panning through just shit while you hear, like, the what's happening in the background. But then you see her, like, the birthday cake. And then they put the little thing on the birthday cake, and all the lights, candles go out, because Richard's dead.
Yeah.
There's no party for India. It's done. And then we go straight to the funeral. It gives tanning bed scene and
final destination.
Yeah, how they're like on fire and then just immediately at the funeral. But then also right. How that happened in Hereditary too, which I know it's like some conflict. But yeah, very, like I said, love some family drama. But for my birthday. Anyways, this movie is literally so beautiful. It's so amazingly shot. Like I said, Chung Hoon Chung did the damn thing on everything. It's beautiful. The amazing use of colors. Even the use of sound here is really good. I need to see who the sound person was, actually. Yeah, like the shots of the sky and the trees and all the estate. It's like very much a living town. They have all this face. But they still live in their own little tiny worlds, not even, like, thinking about each other, even though they're literally sitting in the same house. Like, It's just they're all sheltered and, like, in their own minds.
While having all this space and money, and they could travel the world, But you're just making up stories.
Whatever.
Fucking Evelyn got me like annoyed. I'm not gonna lie to you. She had me annoyed. Right. Because she's just like, she just wanted all the fucking attention.
Yeah.
And that's
sure.
Why she's like all pouty and shit. And like, she wasn't even upset that this dude was creeping on your daughter. You was upset that you wasn't the center of the attention and she got the attention. And you got mad and jealous of your own daughter. Like, she just annoyed me during this.
It was very palpable. She was in competition with India. Like, every in the way that she like talked about them hunting, she was like, "What a waste of life," and like the fact that she was like, "Yeah, you," like, she literally called her a fucking cat. You brought home all those dead birds. Like, she was like,
Can you just support your child's hobby?
Obviously, like, have problems.
And then every time somebody mentioned doing something with India, even fucking Aunt Gwen or Aunt Jen, like her full name is Gwendolyn, but Aunt Jen, like, when she was like, "Yeah, I'm here to like spend some time with India," and like she said, she's like, "Oh no, honey, I mean a completely different thing. Like, we are not talking about money, none of that yeah. shit." Like. The fact that she was literally like, "I'm trying to spend time with her to get away from Danu," yeah. like, and you're over here like, "Oh, you just that'll be so nice for India,"
right?
Like, why can't
she? What the exactly?
You, and you, that's what I'm saying. You had no, you spent no time with your daughter until your husband died, and then you were like, "Well, you did all that with him." Come on, like,
okay, we could have done something too. Other than you being jealous,
or like even when she was like, whenever they're eating dinner after, let's call him Richard, Charlie's like made them dinner. She's like, "Remember when like Richard used to make us dinner? Oh, that was before you were born, India." Like,
like, this is your daughter.
Like,
this is her dad you're talking about.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, what do you want me to say to that?
Like, why is she in competition with her daughter?
Who knows? There's a myriad of reasons, and they're never logical. I don't know, like, what people think. Like, that's a separate literal brain that has nothing to do with you aside from what you say to it. Like, that's it. Like, I'm sorry, that's the only thing you can do to your kids is either traumatize them or support them. Those are the two options. Anyway.
Either they can hate you forever or actually fucking care about you.
Learn later. Something, I don't know.
But yeah, the cinematography was very, very good. Like, I love, like, I feel like they, like, zoomed in a lot on just because, like, the attention to detail just, like, surrounding the aspects of, like, the hunting. Still quiet moment, like, the belt, I don't know, that just really popping in my mind, him pulling off the belt and shit. I don't know, it just, like, really zoomed in, so.
But I think that's especially, like, one of the things about India, and we come to find out Charles, is that they have heightened senses of like yeah. sound and all that kind of stuff, so I guess that would be them hearing all the stuff and seeing all the stuff, which is cool. And I like when she's at school and painting the inside of the vase while everyone's painting the vase, and the fucking weird ass dude paints her naked, like,
look at this, right? What the fuck are you doing?
I think it's mad when she starts coloring it in. Like, you put this on my easel. You clearly want my artistic. Like,
you wanted, like, a cookie? Like, honestly, what did you expect me to do with this?
Like, dude. And this is, like, another thing about immaturity is just all throughout this shit. Like, that is a constant theme. There is no fucking mature person in this at all. Like, nobody's healed. Nobody's gone to therapy. Nobody's working out shit. Everyone is immature as fuck. So this is a, like, high schooler. I guess they're seniors by now, and he's still doing that. Mm-mm. Bullying girls because I like them. Like, he's still,
I mean, she's 18, so, like,
that's what I'm saying. They're all, like, seniors. Like, yeah. Y'all are about to go to college. What are you doing?
Like, you're drawing a woman naked without her consent. That's not a great
thing. In the middle of class, and then fake punching her when she does not give a shit about your weird
Which
antics.
College is he going to?
He's not.
Let's put a high alert.
Fucking whatever this is, community college. Like,
let's put a bell on
not
him.
Not that there's absolutely anything wrong with community college. It's affordable, good alternative options, but this dude is stupid and weird. That's the only reason he's going. It's sad. But I think Lucas Till is actually a very interesting choice, especially during this time. This was like 2013, and like, he's kind of peak because I feel like he was like in a like fucking Taylor Swift video, and like, I don't know, I feel like it's a very interesting choice for some reason. I can't really pinpoint why, but I guess because he was Golden Boy and everything else, and now he's like harassing people. But yeah, so
gotta show that range. They're just a nice guy.
Absolutely. So, yeah, they're, dude literally just straight up shows up, funeral, they're at the, what's it called after the funeral? I feel like there's just, no, that's before. That's the day before. Whatever happens after the funeral when you, like, gather at the houses. He's just there like, hey, what's up, everybody? And literally someone audibly says, I didn't even know Richard had a brother.
Like, I really... There's so many times... Because when he was... flirting with Evelyn, I was like... Maybe that's not his real brother, and they were just like planning on killing her husband just so he can like take over type shit. Like,
it's like, you clearly don't see me as family. You know, I mean, clearly doesn't see any fucking body as family. He doesn't. Family means possession to him. That's Psychopath. The only thing. Like, he definitely giving Patrick Bateman. Like, definitely giving Norman Bates, too. It's not even play. Like, he's giving all of that. He's, of course, that nice guy. I have to prove that I'm not here for sinister purposes, but I absolutely am. Like I said, overly nice white people have a sinister agenda. That's, like, the motto of this podcast. Yeah. If you don't know that, like, it's a thing.
Yeah, no doubt. He was too goddamn charming.
Like, pulled up with the ice cream. Like, I got chocolate and vanilla. Is that correct? But that's what I'm saying. These immaturity things. Like, I like the swirl kind. Right. Like, what did she say? You can make your own swirls, you lazy thing. Like, white people. That's what I'm saying. The way that they talk to each other, it's so, like, passive-aggressive. And, like... You're just hiding behind this, like, faux niceness. This, like, fake politeness. You literally hate each other. You don't even know each other, and you hate each other. Yeah. But we're family, so we just have to play nice. It's after Charles is there, fucking there. What's it? Evelyn wakes up. It's like, India, let's go get some ice cream. Let's go into town. Blah, blah, blah. What the fuck are you wearing? Like, India's like, this is my morning dress. Like, she's kind of funny. Like, in a very, like, again, passive aggressive, like, fucking way. Right. Like, because you could have just pulled up and been like, Mom, why is he here?
That was literally my only question during this movie. Why is he not in a hotel like everyone else?
They even found gin in the fucking hotel with the hairy soap. Like, ma'am. Like, you are letting this man you've barely heard of. Right. In your house, but not the woman who has, like, tried to warn you about this fucked up family your whole life. Because that's the thing. She wasn't, like, I really don't believe that whatever she was referencing at the wedding was about Evelyn. I think that she knows her own family and is like, girl, you don't want any of this. And Evelyn took it wrong because she needs attention.
Yeah, she does. She's willing to shun her own daughter for it.
Yeah. They go back and forth about how, you know, in ancient times, women were supposed to mourn the two youngs. Like, bitch, I don't care. This is not the 15th century. I don't support that at all.
But how long has it been? It's been like, what?
Yeah,
like,
it had to be some weeks. Like, for real, no. She was right about how, like, it was a little sus. Which does give you the impression that this was probably planned by her.
No, yeah. Right after that, I was like, okay, so they killed him.
They definitely agreed. Like, the shit. But,
Because, yeah, that was like a week or two.
Yeah, very suspicious that she would. But, again, the immaturity, lack of communication, not wanting to address problems. That's why they can't just be like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this man, we don't know, in our home? So, of course, because she needs attention, she invites Charles to go get ice cream with her. They go into town in their lovely convertible.
Drop top.
And India starts snooping. But she's smart and turns the metronome, the little ticky-tock thing. I don't know if that's right.
The ticky-tock.
The metronome, is that what it's called? On just because somebody will turn it off whenever they walk in the house. And she's snooping around, goes through and finds all the information and the passports, blah, blah, blah. You know, got his shit. You know, been traveling around the world.
And a gun.
Yeah, a toy gun. Like, a literal small blue water gun. So, she's, like, snooping through his bags, finds... And this is the thing about her birthday. Every year for her birthday, she's gotten these shoes. And for this birthday, she did not receive shoes. She received a key. Then she finds the actual box that is supposed to be given to her on her birthday in Charlie's luggage. She doesn't look in it, because then, pop, they're back. So she puts all this stuff back in place and goes downstairs, and that's when they have the little swirl thing.
Just do the spoon. Right? It's okay.
So she just goes down, and the whole reason that they went into town was because Mrs. Garrett, their housekeeper, who was like, I'm tired of this shit, Charlie, was like, not there. So she's just gone. So Charlie is going to cook since, you know, Evelyn can't. So, yeah, this is about when Aunt Jen shows up, because she hears that Charlie's back, so she's gonna pull up, talk to them.
Charlie?
Because that's really what everyone was like. But then I'm saying, the only people who are like, Charlie, like, instead of Charlie?
Yeah.
Like, were Aunt Jen and Mrs. Garrick. So she pulls up, is like we said, she's like, I'm hanging out with India and I need to talk to you, Effie, because
alone.
And this dude is so clearly putting on the charm and like pretending like he doesn't know what's going on.
Dude, he can do no
wrong. Because what is Evelyn says something about how he's like stopped by after his travels in Europe, and Jen goes, Europe? Like, and he just looks at her and is like, yeah, I'm back. Like,
he just wipes his mouth off and walks away.
Like, bro. And at this point, he's, like, wearing Richard's clothes, which are way too fucking big for him. And he's, like, holding them together with this Richard's belt, which is, again, way too big for him. Like, he's just, like, clearly trying to be Richard.
Why are you here?
It's really giving plush. Like, it's really giving Enzo. Like, why is this man constantly at my house?
Let me see your lower back. Let me see your lower back.
Like, okay, I want to talk about that. Maybe we'll just assault you with all the weird ass movies that I like for my birthday.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, so Evelyn is, like, on her spiel because she needs attention, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, whatever the fuck. India, call me if you need anything. Evelyn, call me if you need anything. I'm gonna be at the Biltmore Hotel. Biltmore. Remember that name. She, in fact, did not go to fucking Biltmore Hotel and took her L and went to that nasty, dirty-ass motel because she knew that Charlie was fucking weird and was gonna stalk her. So... she
smart.
Checks into this hotel. Evelyn's like getting her shit together, you know, she's, and this is like juxtaposed going on at the same time. She's like doing her makeup, doing her hair, she's about to get in Charlie's room, she's bringing out wine. Yeah. Yeah. And Mia that's, I mean, what's her name in this? India, Jesus, Mia. She goes, does her shit, and it's juxtaposed with us seeing what Aunt Jen is doing while she's in the motel. She can't find her phone. She calls the front desk and is like, did I leave my phone up there when I was checking in? She goes outside because the phone in there is not working, really, so she's about to call the house.
Yeah, so India's downstairs, like, eating ice cream. Like, just once again going to get her swirl. And so Aunt Jen is calling from this phone booth so nobody can hear because fucking Evelyn's going to see what Charlie's doing in the guest house. And she's downstairs licking her fucking ice cream. So no one hears the phone ring, and we see Charlie pulling up to the fucking phone booth. And hands on Jen her phone after being like, you said you were going to be at the Biltmore Hotel and you were. And she was like, yeah, shit happened.
Because I knew you'll be wherever the fuck I was.
He's like, I had to call the cab company. Like, maybe you should not have.
Maybe you don't need to know where I am. Creepy.
Just, and of course, he like murders her with the belt.
Richard Bell.
And at the same time, India discovers the body. Like I said, she's eating her ice cream, she puts it back, and for some reason she sees something in the freezer and discovers Miss Garrick's body. So she realizes that Charlie is a murderer, and well, he's murdering her aunt. So you know, confirmed.
Past tense and present tense.
So India goes back to school. And dude has been following her bus.
Yeah.
Like, pulling up to school, following her bus, like, going to be like, I'm going to pick you up.
He's just sitting there with his shades on next to his car, like, blocking the bus. In front of the bus. What are you doing? Like, what are you...
There are so many red flags all throughout this, but... That's what I'm saying. He is a grown-ass man pulling up to a school. No child is getting in his car.
Okay, there you go.
And he's driving next to the bus every single day.
Yeah, no. You have to tell me more. You have to tell me more. You need,
like,
to get the
even
hell out.
If you are here to pick somebody up, like, they are clearly not going with you. And I feel as though there's a reason for that.
So you need to get off the property, sir. You need to get off the property.
So many red flags. Yeah. This man is a fucking creep. So yeah, she's like trying to avoid her creepy ass uncle and not be embarrassed once again by him driving next to the bus. So she doesn't even go out like with everyone. She stays in school until every bus is gone. This man is still standing there outside of the school. She goes the back way.
Bro. She has to go through all of this to avoid this creepy dude.
She doesn't even fucking know, claiming to be her uncle. But that's what I'm saying, claiming to be her uncle. Because
Grandpa.
Uncle, get that fuck out of my face.
Creepy ass nigga.
So she's going the back way to try to avoid him and runs into the guy who was fucking bullying her in art class. And he's literally harassing her about her creepy uncle. And that's what I'm saying. If y'all are all seeing that this shit is creepy, why are you harassing her? And why are you not being like, why is he stalking you? Yeah. Do you need help? Should we take you home?
Does he think he looks cool now?
This man is standing there in his, like, fucking sweaters over his fucking collars and his khaki pants.
That's who y'all should bully. Y'all bullying the wrong people.
So anyway, he, like, calls her and her mom stroker because that's what I heard he's doing to your mom.
There,
like,
you go. That's all it takes.
Just say fucking stupid.
Stroker.
Children. And that's what he's a senior. He's, I mean, yeah, he's a child, but like, you need to be a little bit more mature than that.
At least a little more clever. Like, that's right there. Like, no, show
no,
me something.
Don't do that.
Okay.
So he tries to once again attack her, and she stabs his hand with a pencil when he tries to punch her. You know, self-defense, whatever. So this guy, Whip, is like, bro, leave her alone. Like, clearly she's not interested, and we all see that you're trying to fuck.
Right.
Like, right. Just go ahead and ask. Like, just, like, it's so weird.
That's like elementary shit. Like, you're gonna bully somebody because you don't know how to say you like
them. Like,
you're 18. You know,
like, just ask her out on a date or something. it could be that simple, but
I have some piano lessons, you know, whatever the fuck you gotta do.
No, that's but yeah,
but the nice guy wasn't so nice either, was he?
No, because then of course she like stabs him with the pencil and she goes home. She's sharpening the pencil to get his blood out of her goddamn pencil.
That was just, that's the most frustrating part, you know what I'm saying? It's not the act of violence, it's the cleaning up the goddamn blood.
That's the real issue.
But just a sprayer, aren't you?
Oh my god. Yeah, so then she decides that she's going to pull up a whip since, you know, he defended her and, you know, gotta hang out. But I think this is after the piano scene, right? Because then she comes home and he, like, and then I feel like that's when the piano scene happens, after she, like, does the pencil.
Oh, yeah, after she sharpens it?
Yeah.
Then it's the intense piano duet.
Yeah, so it's like the piano scene, and then she goes with
Whip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the piano scene is actually apparently, like, they wrote that song for this, and that's just kind of the score throughout the whole thing. And it's, like, an on-screen score, so you only really hear it when somebody's, like, humming it or playing it or something like that, which is really cool. But apparently that scene can be interpreted multiple ways. You can see it as a metaphor for an actual sex scene. I will not say sex scene. I will say assault, because he's a grown-ass fucking man. She doesn't fucking know.
She's like a week into 18.
She's like, literally, like, creepy.
And that's just... Whatever, you can cut this out, but I want to say it either fucking way. All of these motherfuckers creeping on, like, little girl stars and can't wait till they're 18, so they want to fuck them type shit. You're creepy, and that's the same type of shit.
It's literally called grooming. Like, that is what it is. To wait until someone is 18 to pursue a relationship with them is grooming. And that's the whole thing about this. Like, he was doing that. Everyone around her knew. And that's when... I mean, we're about to get to it. A piano scene can be interpreted as an actual sex scene, or it is something that India just imagined because, like, he alludes to knowing how to play piano, even though he's not a fucking beginner. Like, that and Orphan, y'all are shady. I'm never gonna leave someone when they say they're breaking out playing piano now. Like, fuck it, you're not. Play Tchaikovsky right now. But that can be interpreted a number of ways. Like I said, he's gross and weird and a sexual assaulter. She goes to dinner with Whip or whatever. They're, like, going behind the train tracks, which is apparently an allusion to the movie that is, like, one of the director's, like, favorites, and it's called, Shadow of a Doubt, and it's a Hitchcock one, and apparently he uses trains throughout that, so there's a lot of, like, references to that movie throughout here. So they go off into the whatever, she, like, makes out with him, he takes it completely wrong, tries to rape her, and then Charlie pops out of the fucking woods.
Out of nowhere.
Like, thanks, but why are you here?
And you were most likely there the whole time. In my
eyes.
Watching.
You could have... What the fuck? He's just...
He's always... I'm always like, why are you here? Like, wherever he is, I'm wondering why...
Like, why are you here? Get the fuck out. It's all that I have to say.
He's just smiling, looking all fucking charming and photogenic and shit. Like, but why are you here?
They then, like, attack Whip and, like, tie him up, but rolled him in that ditch and left him there, and somebody could have found him, and I'd be like, ha, you gotta explain that shit, bitch.
Butt ass, dead ass.
Anyway, then they're trying to, like, walk away, decide what to do, just leave him there or not, and then he, like, grabs India's legs, like, pulling her down. Like, bitch, you could have just taken your ass beaten and been left.
Yeah.
They kicked the shit out of you, bro. Like, just lay down and take it.
That's it.
Just, you're...
Like, okay, this is an L. I'm gonna eat it and I'm gonna take it. That's... You could have just ended it like that.
But no. He decided to do that. India It's like fighting him. They're like on the ground tussling. Harley comes up behind him and like puts her dad's belt around his neck and like snaps his neck. All that shit. Really dramatic ass scene.
Good old rusty belt. I'm telling you, that's all you need. Snap that boy's neck like nothing.
I just can't. Like, what the fuck? Why? I mean, like I said, thank you, but why the fuck are you here, Charlie? You are stalking teenagers in the night.
You,
like, I'm sorry.
Are in the woods.
He's just like,
you didn't
whip,
run into me.
Whatever. Like, whip trash ass piece of trash. But like, you're still a grown ass man following teenagers in the middle of the night. That's yes. all that I have to say. And moving on to the next scene where I hate crying masturbation scenes. Mm. I'm sorry. They always make me uncomfortable. I just
really?
Want to leave the room because I don't know. You need to deal with whatever is going on with that. And I don't need to witness that. This is a very... I don't know. This is a moment for you. I just don't need to be here for it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Always.
No, it's too much.
Some other shit. Even in American Horror Story, when they tried to like make that joke in American Horror Stories, I was like, it's not funny. Like, the way that they did it, first of all, they set up the joke was not funny. And just like...
My masturbation is really played out. Somebody tried to...
Played out.
Somebody explained it to me. It's
why I say that is because when we are seeing the flashbacks of what happened, like of them being killed, it's also of Whip being killed, it's juxtaposed with India like in the bathroom in the shower, like away from the camera. Away from the camera.
So they're like alluding that she was like getting like off
on. I mean, yeah, but like,
so yeah, they was she crying or was it just like,
no, she was like crying.
Okay, I thought she was just, because honestly, like sometimes moans be sounding like cries, like I don't really...
Yeah, she was literally like, okay, crying. So... That's what I'm saying, it just makes me uncomfortable, like,
yeah.
Don't cry, do that like before or after, like
before after. Yeah, after. After with a pint of ice cream. Fuck you.
I'm sorry.
Cry before. What the fuck?
I don't know. But anyway, she clearly has an issue and realizes that she could also be a murderer because she likes hunting and her dad like enabled that in her. Not that that's not weird, you can hunt and not be a murderer.
Yes, you can.
But, you know, immature brains make a bunch of conclusions in their own heads. So, like I said, theme through all this. There's no fucking mature-ass thought throughout this whole thing. No. She's just more aware. And that's what, like, they... Being aware of things going on doesn't mean that you are capable of processing them. And none of these people are capable of processing anything, so there's that. So yeah, she does that, and then she goes, chills with her mom, tries to brush her hair, and they have this little conversation about how, you know, she always was hunting with her dad, and like, her mom realized she never brushed her hair, but she spent living the... fucking dress that she bought her, and then like all this, but that transition of the hair into the grass is really nice, really
yeah.
beautiful. Like, she's telling her mom about how she saw her and Charlie in the fucking living room or whatever, and she was just like, oh, I didn't even hear you. She's like, yeah, I learned that from hunting, goes into like this hunting story,
right? Learned a lot, and
yeah.
it's like very good skills to learn, like,
yeah.
Sneak up on a motherfucker. She got that good one shot too.
So, during this story, her mom just, like, clearly is losing the attention, so she just stops the story. Like, because it's not about her, and she's not brushing her hair and talking about how beautiful her hair is.
She annoyed the fuck out of me.
So she's like, anyway, tomorrow I'm cleaning out your dad's office. And so India's like, cool, whatever. So she goes into the office later and realizes and sees all these, like, shit. She's going through the desk drawer. She sees pictures of, like, when Richard and fucking Charlie were little, and sees that they actually had another little brother.
Jonathan.
Yes, little baby Jonathan. So on top, like, around those, she found her little, not like her, but like she found letters to her, and that's what I said. She found letters from when she was like a literal toddler, yeah, all the way up until her 18th birthday from Uncle Charlie.
It was like Valentine's.
Yeah, like letters. It was every holiday and her birthday. Like, bro, it was like he was doing nothing but, like, again, he doesn't understand the concept of family either. He wasn't even sending letters to his goddamn brother.
No.
He was not checking in on his brother. He wasn't like, how's your marriage? Like, he was literally just simply grooming his daughter. That's the only, and that's why I don't understand why they gave her the shoes. Because that's what she said. Like, she, when she saw the ribbon on, whatever flowers Mrs. Garrett had at the beginning of the movie, completely skipped over that. She asks, she goes, oh, I thought it was always my dad, but I guess it was you. Like, as I'm doing, being like, oh, shit, you're the person giving me the shoes? Like, and of course, Mrs. Garrett's like, can't say. She's like, yeah, just go find your other present. Like, so she eventually finds it in Uncle Charlie's thing, so she's putting all these clues together. Finally, he's the one who's been giving her the shoes. Like I said, why would they give her the shoes if they knew the letters that came with them and the intention behind the letters? Why would they even give her the shoes?
Very true. Very weird. But that was what was locked in the drawer. That's what the little key was for, right?
Yeah. So I guess that's what she was, I guess that's what Mrs. Garrett was doing, because she knew that, like, maybe she didn't know if there was another, like, or maybe this is when she was like, okay, I'm not gonna give you the next pair of shoes.
Yeah, because the box was empty.
Yeah. And maybe she did have it, and, like, he did kill her. So, like, so maybe she did have the next pair of shoes, but instead of giving her the next pair of shoes because she understood the implication, she gave her the key so that she would have this, like, whole thing. But, of course, he fucking showed up.
Right.
And ruined the whole process. So she couldn't see that he was a predator before.
Yeah.
Actually being...
Why are you trying to pull you to the side, Evan? I was trying to talk to you for a second. You two fucking on your goddamn self.
But that's, but the problem there is, like, why do you have to say it in private? Why can't we just bust out in dinner and be like, this man's fucking gross. Like, get him out of here right now. Like,
it would have been settled and solved. Like, I mean, wish she had believed the shit. You know, she couldn't even hurt anybody.
No, like, but she said at the end that she was suspicious. Like, she did bust all that out after she realized that she was not the center of attention, which is the problem. Back to the letters. So, India finds the letter. She's reading them, realizes that Charlie's the one who centers all the shit. Is like, oh my god, he's been... Because, once again, she is, like, already successfully groomed at this point. Again, why did they give her the shoes? Because she's going to have a positive connotation to whoever gave her the shoes every fucking year for life. Like, bro.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh my god, this is so great. He told me all his stories all the life. Why did they hide these from me? Even though he literally says something, like I said, the first one starts off when she was 5 years old. He says something about how people in a different country, like, kiss each other on the cheeks but he thought it was weird, but it would be less weird if it was her.
Yeah.
And, like, there's all, like, so many fucking red flags. Again, the school thing is just, like, why? Like, you are literally chasing a bus.
Are we allowing this in the public school?
Like, if that's not a clear-ass sign of a pedophile, I don't know what it is. You're chasing a bus full of kids, sir.
Has that's anyone asked him, what are you doing chasing these kids? Like, just saying that, does he sound like a predator? He does.
But, yeah, so she finds these letters, brings them up to her room. Halfway up the stairs, she realizes that on the back it says, like, some type of mental institute. Like, the, it's literally whatever their family's previous last name was, because they acknowledge when you see the flashback to him being in the institute that his family had paid for that entire wing and he was the only person there. So that's what I'm saying. He literally stayed right the fuck there where he knew he would be enabled. It's a lot. And that's what I'm saying. His family knew this. They paid for the fucking wing that he was staying in.
What age was he when he, like, went in? Was
like,
he,
like, 11 or something, like, somewhere around there. Because they said, because on the picture it said 9. Mm-hmm. Like, the first picture of them. And I assume whenever that happened was a little later, because that picture did not have Jonathan in it.
Okay.
So, he had to have been, like, 11 to 13 is what I'm gonna guess.
I'm just thinking the mindset that he's, like, in, because he's been in there ever since. That's, so, he's, like, in that kid mindset.
Straight immaturity.
Straight, like, up, like, when him and, like, the scene, like, him actually... actually, like, him and Richard had their, like, shit. Like,
yeah,
he was getting really emotional, like, childishly emotional. Like, it's like he's still in that mindset.
But you don't even know her. Literally never met her. Never. You're not even keeping in touch with your own fucking family. Like, your immediate family. You called Richard to come get you, and that was it. On his daughter's birthday. That's what I'm saying. You don't even think about that shit. Like, you just wanted to be there on her 18th birthday. You didn't even think about the fact that you were taking her dad away from her on her actual birthday.
Right.
Like, you couldn't even, like, let's work this out in 2 weeks or something. Like, no.
Right.
Because you're a fucking predator who wanted to be there. It's disgusting.
It really is.
So she finds out he was in a mental institution this whole time and was lying about every fucking thing that he said, wherever he went. He went to Africa, he went to France, he went to blah, blah, blah. He didn't do none of that shit. He was in a mental institution making shit up, probably reading a bunch of things, which is fine. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Her dad read all this shit and they still gave her the shoes and still was like, I would be like, by the time you're 16, you're gonna know about your weird ass uncle.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because he isn't sending her letters forever.
Yeah, especially on, like, Valentine's Day and shit. And, like, ever since 5, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'd be like, you know, watch out for your uncle. Actually, don't watch out. When you see him, just yell. Yell pedophile. Just yell it, all right? Fuck it. Because this dude is fucking weird.
But, yeah, so she finds that out. He is relying. He sees her looking through these letters and he's like, oh, ho, you found them, so let me just tell you what happened. Yeah, I fucking asked your dad to come pick me up at the institution because I wanted to see you. He tried to send me away to New York because he knows I'm a fucking child murderer, because he's in the institution for killing his younger brother Jonathan, which we referenced, like I said, when he was like 11, because he has the same thing where he needs to be the center of attention. So because his older brother was, like, doting on the literal toddler who needs to be watched,
yes,
he had to kill him and was making sand angels over his brother while he suffocated to death.
He buried his brother alive.
In sand.
What a sandcastle. Was built amazingly.
Yep. And
making sand angels. What the fucking sinister. What is wrong with you?
But you even see India doing that on her mom's bed.
Yeah.
So it kind of mirrors the whole nature versus nurture, which is another thing that goes all throughout this.
But I feel like a lot of this was definitely nurture, because, like, all y'all did was cover shit up and not talk about anything. And if anyone had had a conversation, it probably would have gone a lot different, but it's fine. And of course, she finds out that they buried Richard on the... they buried Jonathan, the little kid, on the property. And there's, like, all these giant round cement things on the property. And there's bodies under them.
Basically, tombstones. But they look like the strong man. Yeah. Like the circle.
So every time you see a, like, round cement thing, there's a body under there. So because of context clues, she knows that Jonathan's body is under there. Aunt Jen's body is up under there. And good old Miss Garrick's under there, one of them. So...
There you go.
Because he even makes a comment about how the soil is good for digging. And what? Red flag. There is nothing for red flags in it. So after he explains that he murdered multiple people in her fucking family, he's like, but here, I got you some heels.
Like, okay. They still have to make up for
them. Puts them. And there's also, when he's explaining, like, what he did, he, like, said, what did I even, did I even finish that? He, like, murdered the multiple people, she figures it out, kills his brother, and then he calls her dad to come get him because it's her 18th birthday and he wants to be there for it. He, like, is gonna send him off to New York. And he's like, no, I'm your family, you can't leave me. And starts crying, like, clearly faking. And, like, even when he's leaving the mental institution, you can tell that he's faking emotions. Because when the therapist goes in to hug him, he's like, shrinks away, but then looks at his brother real quick and is like, oh shit, I have to act normal.
Yeah,
and, like, goes into
normal shit, just normal people being normal. Just giving her a hug, what?
But yeah, when he's explaining all of that shit and that he bludgeoned her dad to death with a rock that he found next to, like, Richard got him an apartment, gave him a fat ass stack.
Yeah.
Gave him a car, passports, whatever the fuck he wanted to do, he could have gone and done it. But no.
That wasn't enough. He wanted to be in that fucking house. He didn't even want to be in the house. He just wanted to be with fucking her.
He just wanted to... Why? Like, bro, you could have gone to New York, not been a fucking predator... Not followed a goddamn school bus.
Yeah.
Wait, you did? I can't. It literally blows my mind. No one at the school was like, yeah, you cannot continue to sit out here and wait for teenage girls. How do you know how to drive? Fucking no. Acquired all these skills just so he could... I mean, do we know if he was given driving lessons? Like, he was the only fucking person. I mean, his parents were paying for this shit. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm questioning the validity of the therapy that was, like, being given here, because...
Oh, I'm sure it was shit. Like, I'm sure it was shit.
Because, like, what... Anyway, so, yeah, back to this, I'm trying to get to this fucking scene, because I like it, when he, like, bludgeons her to death, you see India's face being splattered with blood, as if she is there, because she's, like, feeling that he literally fucking killed her dad, and, like I said, he's like, but here's some shoes, and literally puts them on her feet, like... Yeah. And she's literally thinking about shooting him. Like, let's just be real. Because it's juxtaposed with her memory of her shooting the duck with her dad. So she's literally like, should I kill him?
No. She was definitely like, yeah. It's just patient, just waiting on the right time.
I don't think that she was ever gonna, like, then he's like, we're gonna go to New York, and we're gonna live a new life, and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
Just waiting on the right moment. Just lining it up on that bitch ass. Lining the screen.
But then, while they're having that conversation, the sheriff is coming, because, you know, people are dead. And her housekeeper was reported missing, and now another dude who was last seen with her has gone missing. So, of course.
And this new guy's living in a fucking place out of nowhere.
Random dude nobody's seen. So they're going, they're like giving their statement to the police, and she's like, yeah, we just got fries and blah, blah, blah. And then fucks up her, like, alibi. And then Charlie pulls up, like, yeah, yeah, I was watching this random ass shit.
And he came in at
8 p.m. So I know it was 8 p.m. We know it was 8 p.m.
It was on PBS. Shut the fuck up, Charlie. You're just full of shit.
Just a bullshitter extraordinaire. Like, nothing but bullshit. But I feel like he's not even good at bullshitting. Like,
no.
Everyone else is simply ignoring the red flags that are being flown around him.
He just throws a smile after everything he says, or like, type shit. Just look at my face. Look at my chiseled chin. Then you just forget, well, he didn't say anything that I believe.
It's fine, whatever. He looks good, right? He's got the glasses.
That's it. Like, that he stole from the brother that he killed.
Yeah, because Indy also knows, because he's like wearing, she puts on her dead dad's glasses. Yeah. After she finds them in his luggage. So she knows. Like, that's what I'm saying. And then, again, after they're deciding, blah, 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 sheriff leaves. Whatever, he's like, whatever, whatever. I hope you find your housekeeper. I hope you find person thing. They come back. Fucking Evelyn is back in the house. Charlie and fucking India are just, like, fucking giggling and being fucking weird. Like, oh my god, do we want to play the piano again? Like, ooh, stupid. Anyway, he's disgusting. And so Evelyn's like, what the fuck? Like, she's just like, this shit, why is this shit going in my house? But she doesn't know how to address it, so she just goes, I'm sorry. Like, walks away.
I'm sorry. It's the wrong dimension.
Goes back to her room, regroups herself. She got a dress on. She got a makeup on. She about to pull up on them bitches. Like, there's so much wrong going on in my house right now, and I've been ignoring it for a while.
Right.
But you know, I got my dress on. I did my hair. Like, I'm good now. I got my confidence. I'm about to dress this. I'm gonna sit in my fucking dining room in the dark. Quietly. Until y'all decide to pull up for dinner.
That's how you know it's real. Everything's cold.
She didn't have dinner on the table. Yeah. She was straight sitting in the dark at the head of the table waiting for somebody to pull up. She didn't even look up when the lights came on. She said, you know? Like... And this is where we get that infamous speech. If you were around on Tumblr on 2013, you fucking saw this. Because it was all over Tumblr. Where she tells India that, you know, we have kids because we want to wipe the slate clean. We want somebody to get life right this time and blah, blah, blah. But you, bitch, I can't wait to see life tear you apart. And she didn't even mean that shit. She meant Richard. I mean, not Richard. She meant Charlie. That's what she meant. She,
yeah,
like, girl, you don't even hate your daughter. Like, you don't.
That was so strong.
Like, you don't. You are literally mad at this man and taking it out on your daughter. Like, why do we do this? Stop it.
Yeah.
Kick him out. Like, y'all should have, like, day 7. Like, you should be like, y'all, you got a week.
Right.
Like, and they know he has money. I don't care. Like, your parents didn't just leave you in an asylum and not give you anything.
Right.
Like,
I mean, especially if it was theirs. Like,
exactly.
They got some spare change.
They literally kept someone on staff so that your ass could stay there. Like, excuse me? Like, you could have gone to the other hospital with everybody else.
I'm telling you.
Like,
You don't want to go there, man. Like, stop. Spreading shit all over the walls.
You were asking for much too much from day, like, one of your life. You were asking for way too much. But, I mean, they did it. That's what I'm saying. They enabled him this whole fucking time. They gave her the shoes. They did all of it. So how is he supposed to believe that he literally thought that he was going to walk back up in that house and do it exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Because they never gave him any idea that he was not going to be able to do that.
They did not.
It's
just brought it up on him and he just was in the car. He's like, okay, here's your passport, here's your shit, here's a map, whatever. Here's some money.
But I mean, he knows he's a child murderer who's been trying to groom a child. Sorry, like, no, you don't. That's what Richard said.
My child.
That's what Richard was like. Do I have to say something we both know the answer to? Like, yeah. Let's stop playing. Like,
yeah.
Go to New York. I'll give you a phone call. Maybe when they fucking invent iPhones, we'll FaceTime. Let's stop this. I mean, iPhones were definitely a fucking thing in 2013. Like, but like,
should have had a fucking. Fucking audio jack. Just take me back.
But yeah, so Evelyn's like, no, y'all are on some bullshit. Y'all been kicking all day.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have to shut the fuck up because I got something to say. India, you're a child.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call him Richard. Charlie. Come see me. Is what she said.
Pretty much.
She said, come see me. Didn't even look at him. And this is when this bitch ass is laid up on the piano like he owns the shit. Spread completely across every key.
He has a long arms. He has long arms.
Legs crossed.
That's why I was like, like I said. Don't you ever in your life come in my place and do an album cover pose on my piano. You get the hell out of my place. Like, that's for me.
You need to get out. And then he so coolly says, India, go pack your bags. We should be leaving shortly. Like, bitch. And he's like, oh, okay. I got some packed for sure.
She's just going with it. Like, whatever you say, Charlie. Whatever you say.
So they go up, you know, whatever. He's talking to Evelyn, trying to, like, just literally gaslighting her. Being like, oh, no, what do you mean? We're going to go to France. Don't you want to speak French in France?
Yeah, all that shit.
But she's very clearly accusing him of murdering her husband. Being like, I've been suspicious of you since day one, but, you know, I overlooked it because... And he literally was like, because why? And that's what I'm saying. Like, why? What are we doing here? Why is this man here? What are you overlooking? What for? You don't know him.
Bro. That's again, why.
He could have been fucking lying about knowing your entire husband. That could have been fake.
Do we have to do the tank?
Oh, fucking hell. Yes, we do. Like, for real. That may be a like mini episode because I just want to talk about that movie so badly.
I just
want
to say one thing about it. That's the one. I'll do it for that.
Yeah. So she very obviously accuses him of murdering her husband and all these other people. But then he's like, "Oh, but bitch, we're going to France," and she's like, "Really?"
I always wanted to go to France.
So they start literally making out seconds after she accuses him of murdering people.
Yeah.
And so he tries to kill her once again with the belt that he's been killing all these people with. And is like choking her and is yelling for India to come see.
Yeah.
And India got her little bag, got her whatever, got her fucking rifle slunged over her shoulder, walking as slowly as fucking possible, even though you know your mom's being murdered. But, like, she got it. She knew. Whatever.
After what, after what she said to me, she needed to get close to that. She needs to get close.
I'm gonna let her, I'm gonna play with her a little bit. So that's what I'm saying. This whole family's fucked up. Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna make her feel it.
Like, not funny, y'all. Just a lot, but slowly, coolly walking in her new fucking stilettos, lines up her rifle, bitch is smiling like he's like, oh, bitch, you're gonna shoot your mama? No.
Yeah.
No. This is for you. Happy birthday to me. So she shoots him. And
how?
Bullet jumps through the window, through the head.
Just blood splattered on the wall.
Bleeding out on the floor.
Nice.
Mom's like trying to regain her fucking, like, not knowing what. She's just.
Damn, bitch, you took forever.
Like, no, really? She really gave her that look, though. Like, she really was like, ma'am. Like,
he was yelling for you. I know you heard this shit.
Like,
my last
you
breath.
Just took your time.
You like, heard my last breath. I can't even catch it.
And that's what, I'm sure that's what she was thinking. She was like, you took way too long. You probably wanted to shoot me.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, you get out too, actually.
That look. A lot of things were going through her mind.
Then India just like puts her face, stares the dude face for a second. Like, damn. He really is dead.
He's
like,
dead.
Yeah, and literally just walks the fuck out. Like, cleans her face off, go gets in his car, takes her clothes, and just goes about her life. Mom wakes up next day, just, I mean, she disposed of the body, drug it down, buried him. There's a new fucking cement rounder right there. Like, that's it.
That old Stoker's property. That's what they do.
That's all they do. So, yeah, I mean, who's going to clean up all that blood? But, because she just literally drug him, yeah, like, out the door. Like, that's there's why, a hole.
That's why they, like they wrap people in carpets and shit so the blood doesn't, you know, stain the whole shit.
Nah.
Too.
Plus it's she said that's drag. Evelyn's problem. No, but literally, they're like, the blood is on your hands. I mean, it was on, like, everyone's. Because, like I said, nobody here made a wise, mature decision. India's literally 18. She's the only one exempt from this criticism because she's a fucking teenager. Like, everyone else, not so much, she is supposed to be immature. She is. She's a teenager.
Right.
Y'all are, you're literally her parent and her uncle and her caretaker. And, like, y'all are just being like, just failing her all around. Yeah. Like, literally.
You know, that's that's just what happens a lot of the times, you know. Adults really mishandle situations with, like, creepy adults with children. And that, you know, drop the ball, you know, with these adults. And it happens all the fucking time in real life. That's the fucking, that's the sad part.
So, it pretty much ends with India's driving away, like, apparently going effectively fast, and kills the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I guess now she's a serial killer, and once again, nature versus nurture, who knows? I mean, here, I believe it's definitely nurture, like... Everyone here was coddled. No one was told they were making the wrong decision at any point. Like, Richard is the only intelligent person here, and he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one who's keeping this shit together. And I mean, I guess that's the point. Like, he was the only one keeping this shit together.
No flashback of him and Evelyn ever. I wonder if he even loved her.
But I feel like there was Evelyn. Like, she was probably the one pulling away because she, like, before you were born. Like,
yeah. No, okay, she was definitely jealous. It
literally came out of your cooch, man. Yeah. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, what? You didn't know I was coming?
At 9 months. To know that I'm coming, okay?
Well, did you have a favorite character?
No.
I don't know. Everyone's sucked.
Nah. Everybody was pretty much shitty. Not gonna lie to you. I mean, I liked, I don't know, he fucking Charlie played a good role. I like making fun of how like photogenic he is. He's so like, I don't know, he looks like he can look good in every like picture, just like his charming little face. I don't know.
Them like you're in Ted Bundy, like I said, Norman Bates, Patrick Pinkman, all of that. Like, and I get, again, she does not understand because she is 18 years old. Her mom has not taught her shit. She believes that, like, the way that her mom raised her essentially groomed her as well. To be like, male attention can be used for such and such and such. Like, that's what she even, at the end, with the sheriff, when she goes, effectively fast, he's like, effectively, for what? He's like, to get your attention? Like, it's all about that. They're just, everything's for appearances, for attention, for like, it's, yeah. It's a vicious cycle. Of fucking giving your children your trauma because you don't just want to be like, let's be real for literally 5 seconds and just be like, do we even know if this is actually Charlie? Because Richard is not here to confirm. And I feel like everyone who said Charlie confirmed that something suspicious was going on.
Yeah.
Cause that's what I'm saying. Why did Aunt Jen? I would have been like, that he was in an asylum.
Just like he said, you come out and say this shit.
He's like, no, he was sent to. I was like, I would have literally been like, Charlie, why don't you tell them where you actually were?
Because Europe? You wasn't in Europe.
Did they move the institution? Did you get transferred?
Come on. Your padded room. Yeah, he was right here. That's like his brain. Like has to be like the same fucking age. Like, you know, I'm sure he like did other shit, whatever they provided, maybe books or movies. But like society wise, and just like contact with other human beings, and just like he's not developed at all.
I mean, that's like the point. Like, what is the point in being in this if you're not going to associate with other people and like work on the skills that you are obtaining? Why did they even let him stay there by himself? Like, that's isolation. That's counterproductive to being literally reintroduced into society.
Yeah.
Like, just, and but that's also what Evelyn was doing to herself. They all were self-isolating. Even India, and I guess not really that it goes both ways, because it's always the parents' responsibility to develop that relationship with your kid. But even at the like kitchen back and forth where she was like, this is my like morning, whatever the fuck, she was still being passive aggressive at a time when her mom was clearly trying to be like, I need comfort right now, can we do this together type thing. So there's resistance all around, but of course, because her mom was doing it for attention, and like, I guess that's the difference. Like, people do want to establish that you want to be with them, not just doing this thing, or not just agreeing to do it because they want to. You, like, it is completely normal for people to be like, but I want this to be special for us, not just, you want me to do my own swirl, you don't even care about my swirl. Like, what would you rate this?
Shit. The camera work in this is, like, really good. It's really draws me in. Like I said, all the characters are, like, kind of shitty. So, not liking the characters, you know, does something. But, I'm gonna have to get this, like, it's not one of my favorite movies. I'm gonna have to give it a 3. What? It's not one of my favorite movies.
It doesn't have to be.
But, it is very well executed. Beautifully shot. But, you know, it is a little slow. And, you know, a little slow and not something fucking explosion happening. So, you know, I tend to, like, you know, kind of drift off a little bit, but first watch, I'll just give it a 3 right now, but I want to watch it again.
Solid.
But it's a really fucked up film, though. Like, as far as that, pretty fucked up. But I want to know, like, exactly what direction he was trying to go. Because, like, I get a lot of the, like, the hunting, like, integrated into, like, the whole entire, like, movie and shit like that. Like I said, with, like, the camera work, kind of seemed like, you know, her focus is heightening, just like you would if you were hunting, and how quietly she, like, can walk around, you know, when she had the rifle and shit like that. So.
I guess I said, like, who was the real predator?
Right.
But I mean, he's a pedophile and a serial killer. She's just a serial killer. I mean, like, she doesn't have two things going for her, I guess, but, like, okay. I just feel about it, like, okay, I guess she's, like, slightly better. Like, I was bad. That's why I feel like this is not necessarily a good for her movie, but I do get, like, good for her is usually cathartic, and it's not serious half the time, but, like, I'm fine with, like,
killed the cop. Was that a first kill?
I mean, after Uncle, I guess that's two things that I'm, like, cool. Kill predators and cops. So, like, still less bad. Maybe it is good for her. But I don't, like I said, I don't, for me, it's not necessary. Good.
No. Yeah, no.
But I think it's an amazing movie, and I think the cast is amazing. Everyone does a great job. Like, the writing is good. Just the way that they do foreshadowing and the obvious red flags and, like, the things that he says. Even when the first thing that he literally says to her when her dad dies is, "I'm sorry." And she goes, "It's... you're lost too." Right. And he doesn't say anything. Like,
yeah. No doubt, like, looking back on that, like, you don't give a fuck.
You just literally just apologized for murdering him and then went about it and just was like, well, I apologize. Like, but that's what I'm saying. He thinks that. Like, he was like, even when he literally was like, "Yeah, I murdered him, but here's some shoes." It's like a thing. And maybe that's a facet of rich white existence. Now that you just get shit, your presents are a substitute for, like, changed behavior. Like, I'm gonna do something horrible, but every time I'm gonna give you a present. That's called grooming. That's what that is. Like, that's what that is. Okay, glad we all have this conversation. We'll see you next week for... No, but literally, like, that's the end of that conversation. If you give people things after doing something negative to them and no change behavior comes from it, you're grooming them to be okay with the behavior. He was not only grooming her because he was a pedophile, he was grooming her to be a serial killer. Like, that was always his plan.
Yeah.
He literally was like, "We're gonna go and, like, serial killer together, like, in life. Even though you're literally my niece."
Fucked up. Fucked up movie. Fucked up. Yeah, from the get-go, only thing I was wondering is what the fuck he was doing there. I don't know why anybody would allow him to stay there without any reason why he can't get a hotel or motel. Holiday. The hospitality just got people fucking hurt. Okay? Stop being so nice all the time.
Yep. Like I said, really nice white people always have a sinister agenda. Always. I don't care. Or they're being fake nice because they know they're horrible. That's it. They're either a complete bitch hiding behind the facade of niceness, or they are trying to make you join a cult, groom you for something, or murder you.
I just think of Joanne.
Joan. Pele. Like, all of them. That's what I'm saying. Even the fucking Misery. The fucking girl from Misery. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take care of your ankle, or no, I'm gonna break it until you write my story the way I want. Like, no.
Yeah, she took care of him.
Don't trust nice white people. I don't care. Don't do it. That's how you survive. Survival tips with Dank and Dennis. But anyway, I know this seems weird because we're like, this is not a Christmas movie, but we're gonna get there. We will be starting Christmas War next week.
I cannot wait for P2. And I'm gonna somehow bring up the Grinch. I know we're not gonna do it, but
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a like dark legend, sort of in a way, in a Krampusy way. But anyway, I mean, kind of. The Grinch and Cram is probably like hanging out.
Grinch.
But yeah, next week we'll be starting our Christmas horror. It'll be.
Jingle balls.
No. We're actually going to give you two since we did not do a Christmas horror this week. So you'll get Black Christmas 1974 and Jack Frost with one of my really good friends and amazing filmmaker. Danny will be talking about this film a little bit too, so tune in for that. And yeah, let us know what you think of Stoker if you fucking seen it. It is a lot. It's a doozy. It's really fucked up, really sad, really, you know. Yeah. Let us know your favorite Christmas horror movies too, because I want to get some new ones that I have not seen. So hit us up with those. And
anything from Lifetime.
Lifetime?
Is a horror movie for me.
No, God, no. Nothing happy. Don't give us any of it. Just kidding. If there's like a really good one, like, I love like my Lifetime movies. Is there like a fucked up Christmas, like, sort of true crime one?
Oh my God, I didn't expect you to
realize. Is there like a Christmas true crime Lifetime movie? Because I would so watch that. Yeah, or also if there's actually a good happy one, like, let's know about that one, you know? Any, like, if there's some super weird ones, like that one about the girl who's like a princess in a globe, like a snow globe, you know? Shit like that. Yeah. Like, really weird, out of the box. Like,
definitely is.
But because it's Christmas, it happened, you know, type shit. Yeah. Definitely hit us up on the social medias.
Yes.
And we will see you next. We won't see you, but like you'll hear us, and yeah, we'll. But anyway, you can talk to us. Anyway.
What the?
Anyways. Yeah. We'll see y'all later. Say bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.
You can talk to me. What the fuck are you talking about?
So if you would like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at Dank, the letter N, deadly underscore pod. And on Instagram at Dank deadly underscore pod. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can email us at dang, the letter N, deadlychats at gmail.com. Thank you.